We have been going through this psalm verse by verse, discovering the secret of satisfaction. And last week we began to look at verse 3. He restores my soul. And we talked about getting right with God and having our soul right with Him. And He can restore our soul. Means a couple of things. He can restore our soul when we sin, when we've strayed from the Lord. Also, we talked about how it could also mean that He restores our soul when our soul is discouraged and depressed. And as the Great Shepherd, He does that. But He wants not only to restore our souls, but lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let's got the King James there. If you don't, there's one in the pew. I think we could just read this psalm together, Psalm 23 together. Everybody? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me, the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We want to look at verse 3 again today, mostly. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's an easy 3-point outline in there. He restores my soul, point number 1. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, point number 2. For His name's sake, point number 3. Now, we could dismiss and go home, but I think we can get a little bit more out of that, maybe. But He restores my soul. We're going to talk about 3 things this morning. The ministry of the shepherd. He restores my soul. That's His ministry. The mastery of the shepherd, point number 2, is He leads in paths of righteousness. And then the majesty of the shepherd is for His name's sake. So the ministry of the shepherd, the mastery of the shepherd, and the majesty of the shepherd. Now, how many remember how many names there are for the shepherd in the New Testament? Do you remember? Just so happens that there was 3. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Now, when it talks about the ministry of the shepherd, that's the good shepherd. When it talks about the mastery of the shepherd, that's the great shepherd. And when it talks about for His name's sake, that is the chief shepherd. So we did talk last week about the ministry of the shepherd, but I want to talk a little bit more about that this morning. David thought of himself as a sheep. He was a shepherd, but he also thought of himself as one of God's sheep, and how sometimes he needed to be restored. His soul needed to be restored. And David, being the shepherd that he was, knew that there would be 3 kinds of sheep that needed to be restored. One is a stubborn sheep. Now, we often think that sheep are docile and easily led. Not necessarily so. Sheep can be stubborn. They can be mulish at times. They want to have their own way. And then there is the straying sheep. And this sheep goes willfully away at times, and they go weakly away and carelessly away and fall into pits and crevices, and they get entangled in the thorns, and they get away from the shepherd. And so the sheep needs to be restored. By the way, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." All we like sheep have gone astray. That is the straying sheep, right? And has turned everyone to his own way. That's the stubborn sheep. And so the Lord laid our iniquity, our stubbornness, our willingness to stray, laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's also a third kind of sheep that needs to be restored, and that is the sick sheep. And sheep do get sick. There are many diseases out there and many things that would poison or ensnare them and wound the sheep. And so sheep need to be restored. And I believe that this is physical, but also, as we talked about last week, it can be mental, it can be emotional. But how does then the shepherd restore the sheep? He's got three primary means by which to do it. One thing is the rod, the shepherd's rod. Now I'm taking this about the rod and the staff mainly from the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I did consult some other pieces of work as well. But here's what I discovered about the shepherd's rod. The shepherd would go out and he would find a little sapling and he would dig that sapling up by the root, and there would be the roots all sticking out from the knob. And the shepherd would cut the sapling off about I don't know how far up, but he would take a sharp knife and he would begin to cut away the roots from that knob. And finally he would have a knob left on the end of the staff and a little, and he would take the knob on the end and he would begin to drive nails in it. Or also he would use bits of metal and he would get that rod at the end heavy and weighted. And it became then a powerful club in his hands. And during the time he's just watching the sheep and he doesn't have much else to do, he would become very efficient at throwing that rod. He could become very accurate with it. And so he would practice. He would throw it and he would throw it and he would throw it and he would throw it. It would become like a deadly missile. He became very accurate with it. He would also use it other times as a club. And he would use this rod then to safeguard himself and his sheep. He would keep his flock from danger. It was also used for the purpose of discipline. If a shepherd saw that one of his sheep was wandering away from the flock, or it was approaching poisonous weeds or getting too close to danger of one sort or another, he would take that rod, that club, and he would send it whistling through the air. And with his deadly accuracy, it would get the attention of that wayward animal and it would scurry back to the shepherd and to the fold. The shepherd's rod was also an instrument of protection for himself and his sheep when they were in danger. It was a defense and a deterrent against any predator that would attack. And the sheep did have predators, and the shepherd would use that rod against coyotes, wolves, cougars, and stray dogs. He'd also use it to beat down the brush, discouraging snakes and other creatures from disturbing the flock. In extreme cases, such as David recounted to Saul, the psalmist no doubt used that rod. Remember when David said he was not afraid to go up against Goliath, the giant, because he'd already killed a lion and a bear. And it was the shepherd's rod then that David would have used in all likelihood to protect his flock against such animals. Now, the staff is not the same as the rod. Okay, these are two separate instruments that the shepherd have. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, it talks about the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff. Now, the shepherd would go out and get another long sapling, and he would cut it off above the root. And you've all seen the shepherd's staff, right, with the crook? And that's what he's referring to here. He would take a staff, and he'd make it pliable, soak it in water, and boiling water until he could bend the end of it. And he would bend it over into that crook that we call the shepherd's crook. It was just big enough to go around the chest of a little lamb and also big enough to go around the neck of a bigger lamb so that he would use the staff to gently guide his sheep. It became an instrument in his hand, and he would guide the sheep, and he would also use it to retrieve a sheep. He'd walk along and just touch the sheep with it. He'd put it around the neck of a sheep and pull the sheep that was straying back in. When a sheep was walking along a narrow path that it might fall off, he would take that staff and he would lay it on the sheep's, just on its shoulder, and just guide the sheep back into the path and away from the briars. You know, sometimes I've been in the briars. Have you? Sometimes I've gotten close to danger. Thank God for the shepherd who comes and puts a staff on me and keeps me in the path of righteousness. Sometimes a sheep would fall into the mud, and he would put that staff down there, and he'd put it around that little sheep, and he would pull the sheep out of the mud. I wonder if that's what David had in mind when he wrote in Psalm 40 in verse 2, "He lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock to stay." So you take the staff. The staff was used to gently guide and guard and lift and retrieve the sheep. Sometimes a mother sheep, the ewe, would neglect her lamb. Sometimes she would get so concerned with things that she wanted to do that she would forget about her young. And she would maybe go off and nibble here and there and forget about her lamb. Now the shepherd would see that, and he would take the crook of his staff, and he would draw the lamb and draw the mother sheep back together, because the shepherd knew that if the mother neglected the lamb for too long, she'd forget about it altogether. And the thing that that lamb needed, other than the shepherd's tender care, was the care of its mother, that ewe lamb, for her young. And oh, how we need that today, right? We need that in our homes today, as we need many homes need to be restored. We need the shepherd to gently lead us together. And then there was the third item that the shepherd had to restore the sheep, and that was a bottle of oil. And this was used on the sick sheep. Remember when I told you that Jesus said, "I am the door"? You remember what that meant? He'd make this sheepfold, and then he would leave an opening in there, and nothing could go in or out of the sheepfold until it passed by the shepherd who placed himself in the door. So he was the door. He was the door to the sheepfold. Now, he would, as the sheep would go into this sheepfold, he would often take the rod. And the Bible talks about passing under the rod. And the sheep would come and they'd pass under his rod, and he would use that to check the sheep out to see if there were any sores that the sheep had, to see if there were any injuries, to see if there were bug bites. And then he would take that oil, that ointment, and he would rub it in to the sheep in these injured parts and these sore parts, and he would bring this healing oil to them. The oil was mixed with sulfur and tar, and so it had another purpose, and that was to repel insects. Sheep are bothered by nose flies that would gather in the nose and also in the wounds that the sheep had, and so the shepherd would smear this oil on the nose of the sheep. And you know, oil in the scripture is symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit. And this oil is to give comfort. And the Holy Spirit is called our comforter. And so there's a lot of truth. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the ministry of the comforter. When we come to, sometimes we're bruised and we're hurt and we're wounded and we're bothered by all kinds of things, the shepherd cares and feels and anoints us with oil. Interesting, though, he carefully calls each sheep by name. You know what this tells me? This tells me that the Lord knows you so intimately that from time to time, he has you pass under his rod, under his scrutiny. You know, thank God for the rod, because it was the only way sometimes to find out if there were sores on the body of that sheep. But the Lord, sometimes we pass under his watchful eye, and he's checking us out, and he knows the place of our hurts. He knows the place of our irritations. He knows what things are bothering us. And he sets out to minister to those things. And he sends the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit in those times so that we can be comforted in his presence. And so the shepherd uses the rod, he uses the staff, he uses the bottle of oil. He does use these things to restore the sheep. That is the ministry of the good shepherd, the ministry of the shepherd. And then there's also the mastery of the shepherd. Not only the ministry of the shepherd, but the mastery of the shepherd. Now please listen, not only does he restore our soul, but he leads us in paths of righteousness. He restored us that he might master us. He ministered to us so that he might master us, so that he might guide us. You know, the problem with many Christians today is that all they want to do is be restored. They don't want to be led in paths of righteousness. You know, God, take care of my problems, but I'm not interested in serving you. I'm not interested in going on. I want to get right, but I'm not so sure that I want to do what it takes to stay right. Friend, you got to go from restoration to righteousness. Because if we don't, you know what happens? We fall back into the same trap where we need to be restored all over again. So don't settle just for the restoration. Be led in paths of righteousness. You don't want to go back to the same old problems that you had. You don't want to go fall into the same old traps and back into the mire. You want to walk the path that God has laid out for you, the path of righteousness. And when you get back on the track, then you begin to follow God. And you know what? If we're restored, if something has happened in our life and we needed to be restored, wouldn't you think we would want to follow the shepherd that much closer? I think so. So there's three things needed to follow the shepherd. You've got to be obsessed with the shepherd. You've got to love the shepherd with all of your heart. You've got to be to observe the shepherd. Sheep don't have good eyesight. So that tells me you have to stay close to the shepherd. The further we get away from him, the chances are we're going to get in a place we don't want to be. And then the third thing is you have to obey the shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." And they obey my voice. You can't obey anybody whose voice you don't hear. So how are you going to hear the voice of the shepherd? You're going to follow the shepherd. You're going to follow the shepherd closely. You're going to have a quiet time in God's word. Remember, we talked about chewing the cud. You come to church, and you're going to, during the week, you're going to find your Bibles, and you're going to just chew on the word. You're going to meditate on the word of God, and he's going to guide you and lead you during those times. You're going to hear his voice. Jesus said in John chapter 6, in verse 63, "I am come that you might have life." Oh, no, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said in John 10:10, he's come to give us life, and that more abundantly. He will lead you in paths of righteousness. That is the mastery of the shepherd. And this isn't you. This is the other guy. But they're always trying to get out of trouble, but not trying to get into righteousness. I mean, the Christian life then just becomes all negative. I told you this story before. I think it was a Sunday night, so maybe most of you didn't hear it. But there was a football player, his name was Mike Colon. Mike played for the University of Auburn and went on to play for the Miami Dolphins as a linebacker. And he said when he graduated from Auburn, the coach down there said, "Mike, would you help me to do some recruiting?" And he said, "Sure, coach. What kind of player are we looking for anyway?" And the coach said, "You know the player that gets knocked down and he stays down?" Mike said, "Yeah, we don't want him, do we, coach?" Coach said, "No, we don't want him." "But Mike, you know the player that gets knocked down, he gets up, he gets knocked down again, and he stays down?" Mike said, "Yeah, we don't want him either, do we, coach?" Coach said, "No, we don't want him." "But Mike, you know the guy that gets knocked down, he gets up, he gets knocked down, he gets up, he gets knocked down, he gets up?" Mike said, "Yeah, he's the kind of guy we're looking for, isn't he, coach?" Coach said, "No, Mike, he's not the guy we're looking for either. I want you to find the guy that's knocking everybody down." Church, you don't want to get knocked down and get up and get knocked down and get up and get knocked down and get up, do you? Wouldn't you like to be the person that's knocking the devil down? I don't want to just be restored all the time. We want to be led in paths of righteousness. We don't want to live on the defensive all the time. Not all this negative. Don't we really want to take the offensive sometimes? And we want to be the one that defeats the gates of hell. We want to be the one that stays up and do a little knocking ourselves. But again, the problem with many is that they just have a restoration mentality. "He restores my soul." It stops there. That's just the ministry of the shepherd. We want to go beyond that to the mastery of the shepherd. "He leads me in paths of righteousness." Why don't you today determine that you're going to get right with God if you're not, and stay right with God, and you're going to hear the shepherd's voice and you're going to obey him. You're going to get into the Word of God, and you're not going to find yourself back in the briars or down in the pit or down in the mud or down in that crevice again. There's another interesting use of the rod and the shepherd hand, not only to examine the sheep, but to count the sheep. And it was the Old Testament term, it was passing under the rod. You know, the shepherd would stand there with his rod, and the sheep would pass, and he'd count off every 10. Every 10th one belonged to the Lord. It was his. I want you to know today that you belong to the Lord. Every single one of us belong to the Lord. But he would count those sheep, though, and each one that passed under the rod came under the control and the authority of that shepherd. But also, those particular ones that were his sheep that passed under the rod, they went through a very thorough examination. The most careful, the most intimate examination. But the shepherd made sure that the greatest care was taken to make sure that all was well with it. Because of the long wool of the sheep, it was always easy to detect disease, wounds, or defects. And for example, a sheep, could be without blemish, or it could have all kinds of blemishes. By the way, which ones did the Lord get? The sheep without the blemishes, right? He got the best of the flock. Let's give God the best of our lives. Let him examine us. Yeah, there is the possibility that he might find something in us that he's going to have to restore and heal. But it also means that we become the closest to him, the closest of any of the sheep. And so there is the ministry of the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He restores my soul. There is the mastery of the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And then number three, there is the majesty of the shepherd. This is the chief shepherd. Why does he restore my soul? Why does he lead me in paths of righteousness? It's for his name's sake. It's for his majesty. It's for his glory. The name of the shepherd, what is it? You already know. If you remember, we said Jehovah is my shepherd. The King James uses the word Lord in all caps because it means Jehovah or Yahweh, the most holy name for God in all the Bible. Remember I told you that the scribes took the writing of this name very seriously. They would get a new pen just to write out the name Lord. And then they would put that pen away and they would not use it again. It was the most holy name for God in all of the Bible. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what's interesting? Is that the word Jehovah is never used in the New Testament, though. The name is now Jesus. The name is now Jesus. And his reputation is at stake by the way you and I live. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, we don't say the Lord's Prayer very often. Let's say it. Let's pray it today to the Lord. I hope you can read that. If you can't, take it out of Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is what David is talking about in this particular verse. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Solomon said, his name is like ointment poured forth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel came and gave the announcement, saying, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know what Jesus means? It means Jehovah saves. Thou shalt call his name Jehovah saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's my shepherd. I am his sheep. I don't want to disgrace his name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. One man said, when I would take my little children to school and let them out in the morning, each morning before they would go to school, I would say, Daddy loves you. And remember this. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. I like that. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to. Well, God says, remember who you are. You are my sheep. You are the sheep of my pasture. We need to remember who we are and who we belong to. We are linked to him. And so he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I hope you have a burning desire today to glorify the name of the Lord. Oh, the name of Jesus. Somebody said the name of Jesus is all the hallelujahs in five letters. Said it, I know an unknown prophet, poet, said, I know a soul that's steeped in sin that no man's art can cure, but I know a name, a precious name, that can make that soul all pure. I know a life that's lost to God, bound down by the things of earth, but I know a name, a precious name, that can bring that soul new birth. Jesus. Is there something about that name? Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is, in fact, salvation only in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not just to save us and to cleanse us from sin, but to keep us from sin. He shall save his people from sin. Not in sin. Aren't you glad that from that? But he'll save us from sin and keep us from sin. There is salvation in his name. There is such power in the name of Jesus. I mean, the disciples and even today, people just speak the name of Jesus. And there's healing that takes place. At the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. There's such power in his name. There's such majesty in the name of Jesus. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. At the mention of his name, people will bow down and confess his majesty and his lordship. Let me give you a verse and I'm going to be finished. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Isn't that a good verse? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know what it's talking about? He's talking about leading us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a shepherd we have this morning. We have a good shepherd who is the ministering shepherd. We have a great shepherd who is the master shepherd. And we have a majestic shepherd who is the chief shepherd. And I don't know what kind of shepherd he is in relation to you this morning. Perhaps you're here today and you still need some restoration. Perhaps you're here today and you still find yourself wandering. You find yourself being stubborn. You find yourself being stuck in a briary patch somewhere or maybe wallowing in the mud somewhere. I want you to know that Jesus, as your master, or as the good shepherd, has a ministry to you today, and he wants to take the staff and he wants to lift you out of that, and he wants to guide you out of that predicament. He wants to restore your soul this morning. Maybe you're here and you've done that, but you still have not been mastered by the shepherd. You've had a restoration mentality. Can I tell you that the master shepherd wants to lead you, wants to guide you into paths of righteousness? Not only to keep you from danger, but to lead you into righteousness. And then maybe you're here today and say, yeah, you know, I understand the ministry of the shepherd. He's ministered in my life. I understand the mastery of the shepherd. I let him lead me. I trust him. I let him guide me. Then the next thing that we do is we glorify his name and we worship him in his majesty. I'm going to have the worship team come back. They're going to sing. It's still kind of early. Besides, the Packers don't play till 3:30 today. But here's what I'd like us to do. If you still need restoration, you still need a healing in your life, I'm going to ask you to come up here today and pass under the rod. And we're going to trust that the Lord, through the rod and the staff and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the shepherd will do its work in your life, and you'll be ministered to this morning, and you'll be restored. But then number two, the second part of the altar call, is you want to come. You say, you know, I want to be the guy that's knocking everybody down. I've been knocked down enough. And I've gotten up every time, but I'm tired of getting knocked down. I'm tired of living on the defensive. And I want the Lord to master me. And I want to live in the power of righteousness. I want you to come. And then the third group this morning, your soul is restored. You're walking paths of righteousness, but you just want to come and worship God in His majesty. I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm not going to ask you what you're here for. But if one of those three things would speak to your heart this morning, and you want to come and give reverence to the ministry of the shepherd, the mastery of the shepherd, or the majesty of the shepherd, I'm just going to invite you to come this morning. And I tell you what, if you want me to pray for you, I'll be here. You come and just tell me, Pastor, would you pray for me? Otherwise, I won't. I'll let you have your time with the Lord and let the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd minister to you this morning. But I'm here if you want me. All right, could we stand? And you just come if you'd like to come this morning.
He's coming soon. He's coming.